It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Moment of silence.
FCC doesn't like that.
What's up?
Yeah, nothing much. Owen, you going to say anything?
I need to move my mic.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, breaking news there.
Breaking. So that's what we call.
That's better. I just didn't want to move my mic when my mic was on.
That's what we call not being prepared when the mic comes to you.
I took it, and then it was lower than I wanted it.
Good times.
Terrible, Owen. I think that's another fireball offense if you ask me. But we have another show coming your way once again. Let's see how many times I get distracted here on Friday.
We're gonna let you go today. We're gonna be respectful because you're the elder in the room,
the
senior.
Respectful listeners.
You've got like what, three shows left?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. I mean, that might maybe. I think.
Well, does this two after this? I think.
And then maybe. After that, we're going to take a little break, and then it'll become the Sports Spotlight with Owen Pulley.
Boom, Owen Pulley in the new cast, huh? You were gonna recruit people next year?
We're going to have a picture of Jackson.
Maybe John Easter comes on the show?
Maybe. I'm sure you'll have plenty of good candidates. You're going to be next year.
You're going to have a choosing of like 25 people.
All right. But I think we need, you know, we had the Kevin Gleva, had the released photo. We need to have the retired photo for Jackson Wyatt.
Can we have the Tom Brady when he comes back next year? He reclasses.
He's not coming back.
Yeah, I'm moving on to
be at Ball State.
Bigger adventures next year. I could call in.
Oh, there you go. He could be a guest.
I could be a guest.
Special guest Jackson Wyatt.
Special guest host.
Yeah, that would work.
Yeah, I could do
maybe during an alumni week or something.
Something. I mean, we could figure it out.
Yeah.
I know Owen's going to need me.
That's next year.
Nah.
Okay. Mister has not done a single tweet on the Twitter at all.
Oh.
Just now logged in a week ago.
You never tweet. Or you just retweet and then you post stuff.
Okay, post
you
stuff.
You don't really follow the sports spot. You post a lot of content on there.
Yeah, I usually do.
He'll post polls that people actually vote in, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, I mean, our last poll, I ran... it didn't get too many votes. It only got 15. But I've gotten polls that have gotten over like 200 votes.
Yeah. I think the logarithm on Twitter likes that account more than it likes the WBDG account. Because I'll put stuff up there with like over 3,000 followers and it gets like 3 votes. So, anyway.
You just got to get the right hashtags.
Yeah.
You see like notifications. That. I just liked like the last like 10 tweets on Sports Spotlight.
You liked the last 10 tweets on the Spotlight?
Something like that. There's like six or seven.
This is really a meta conversation.
So what Owen did, this is funny. He went on the Sports Spotlight Twitter.
On my own phone.
All the Spotlight Twitter's posts.
As the Sports Spotlight. Not as Owen Pulley, as the Sports Spotlight.
So why are you liking our own posts?
That's pretty amateur right there.
Yeah, that's amateur if you ask me.
I'm going to be honest, I thought I was doing it on my personal account, and then I realized I was on Sports Spotlight account.
I've been there.
Hey, but since we're talking about it, you can follow us, @S_Spotlight. Give us a follow there.
Are you going to hand that off when you leave here?
Yes, it will. That's why I wanted him to log on so he can run in next year.
There you go.
But we have lots to talk about today. The NBA draft lottery's tonight. One of the biggest nights in could be in Pacers franchise history, at least in recent memory.
They'll be ninth.
Yeah, maybe we'll talk about the odds in a second. The Pacers, there's a few mock trades going on in the world right now for the Pacers, including Chris Duarte. We'll talk about that.
I've seen that.
Yeah, the NBA playoffs are going on. We're now in the Eastern Conference, Western Conference Finals.
Final four, baby.
Yeah, the Suns are out. Chris Paul getting a lot of hate the last couple days. The Indianapolis Grand Prix happened over the weekend. That was interesting, to say the least.
Yeah.
And then the 500 practice is now officially going on, and it's Matt Ryan's birthday.
And apparently the infield parking is completely full for practice today.
Nice. Which,
this being a middle-of-the-week Tuesday, you know, sometimes you see that on Fast Friday. I don't recall, like, seeing that too often lately.
Mm-hmm.
Especially, you know, we're just an hour or so into the main part of the practice and have it full, it's pretty.
Yeah.
That's good. That bodes well for the interest in the 500 this year.
I have a little story/tangent about practice I think is pretty funny. I probably said it on, I probably told you guys, but I don't know if I said it on air. It was a couple of years ago, I was in elementary school, and my dad, I don't really remember the story, but my dad took me out.
Would have been at least four years ago.
I think it was probably like 7 or 8 years ago, actually.
Right, right.
I was in probably like second or third grade because it was our old principal. But anyway, I was in class.
Baby Owen.
My dad called me out of class and was like, yeah, he's got a doctor's appointment. And then the principal was like, does his appointment have to do with cars going really fast around a circle? And my dad was like, yeah, that's it. And then he was like, yeah, you're good. But I thought it was pretty funny. I don't really remember it, but well, I just thought it was pretty funny talking about practice.
I remember going when I was like, I was a baby. I mean, I couldn't have been too old, but I just remember the cars hurting my ears. That's all I remember was just like, man, those cars are loud.
Yeah.
They're not as loud.
Jackson,
anymore.
Do you have any cool stories?
I've gone at least to qualifications since I was like five.
Bad story. I'm just kidding.
I missed like 5 days, and it's not about IMS, but I missed about 5 days in like sixth grade to go to Pocono for a race.
That's cool.
Pocono's a pretty cool race.
I think I did that three
Tricky triangle.
Years.
What, where's turn
isn't
four?
Pocono in Pennsylvania?
Mm-hmm.
Long Pond.
On the other side Pennsylvania? Of Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
It's the longest state ever.
Yeah.
It's like 8 hours.
Georgia.
Ohio,
Georgia.
Ohio feels longer when you're driving through. Like, we had a tournament in Pittsburgh, and obviously, like, most of our trip was in Ohio, but it felt like 97% was just in Ohio.
Right. Ohio is wide. Georgia and Alabama are just long.
Yeah.
It seems like it takes forever if you're going anywhere in, like, the South Florida or, like, that part of Florida.
Yeah.
It takes forever to get there.
My favorite time.
You like to talk over
Florida.
People.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
We gotta cure you of that.
I'm
but
fired.
You were saying, no.
My favorite time is Florida time because, like, the halfway point between here and Orlando is Atlanta, and it doesn't feel
right.
like it.
Yeah, it's 8 hours.
Yeah.
Yep, because sometimes, like, if you're going to Tampa, it's 16. So
right.
Yeah. So it wouldn't seem like it would take 8 hours to get to Atlanta from Atlanta to Tampa, but it does.
Yeah. Sports spotlight, Jackson?
Hey, there we go. Well, I'm finally
speaking
back.
Of Atlanta. It's Matt Ryan's birthday.
Who's here now?
And, you know, he played in Atlanta. There you go. There's the transition.
Yeah, but now moving up to the top of the board of the topics to talk about today. NBA draft lotteries tonight, and the Indiana Pacers finished fifth in the odds of the number
right.
one. The fifth in the standings of the NBA. So I have the Indiana Pacers draft lottery odds of the upcoming lottery or whatever tonight. And so the Pacers finished with the fifth worst record in the NBA, but only have a 2.2 chance of landing the fifth overall pick, which is quite interesting if you think about it, because you wouldn't think fifth overall, fifth pick. Well, it doesn't work that way. The Pacers' biggest chance of landing a pick in this selection is the seventh pick. They have a 26.7 chance of landing the seventh pick, which...
Do we know why?
No, it just doesn't make sense. And then they have a 19.6% chance of landing the sixth pick. I'm going highest to lowest. And then after that, they have a 10.5 chance of landing pick 1 through 4. So practically a 40% chance of landing a top four pick.
I don't know if it works that way, but it sounds good.
I mean, they have a 10.5 chance of landing the first
but
pick,
you only
the second
have,
pick, the fourth, third pick, and the fourth pick.
But you only have a 1 in 10 chance of drawing that. Pick if it's 10%.
Yeah.
So,
yes.
Yeah, because you don't get four shots at it. You get one.
Something like that.
Right.
I don't know. It's weird now.
I don't understand why.
They do. They have a bunch of balls in there and it's wild.
I personally always have not liked the lottery. I think
it's kind of goofy.
Silly. I think you should just do it like if you're the worst team, you should have the best draft pick.
Yeah. So if it was me, I'd be happy with the fifth. But. And then they have an 8.7 chance of the 8th pick. Then they have a 2.2 chance of the 5th pick. And then a 0.6% chance of the 9th pick. So practically, it's going to be at least a top 8 pick.
Yeah.
Unless
they get unlucky.
Which happens often.
Which, yeah, that's the Pacers.
But, Yeah, I mean, this is probably one of the biggest nights. Obviously, there's nothing really the Pacers can do personally to win this type of thing. But this is one of the biggest nights and could be changing for this franchise for years to come. Let's say they land the first overall pick in the draft. And this whole entire franchise could be flipped around in a snap of a finger. Let's say they land the ninth pick in the draft, and I mean, we could see them being at the bottom of the Eastern Conference for years to come. It's just, it's that big. I mean, it's extremely important. I mean, obviously, you see teams that are in the lottery every year, like the Sacramento Kings, and they're used to this type of thing because, you know, they can't draft. But this is just one of the biggest nights, and this, in all reality, tonight could show the future of the team, even this offseason. Let's say they land the first overall pick. Maybe they move players they wouldn't move if they got the ninth pick. So, I mean, this is going to be interesting. Cross your fingers, predict what you want. Use all the magic you can. And this Thursday we'll be talking about how the Pacers got the ninth overall pick in the NBA draft. Yeah, everything is crossed here in studio. But we have to be happy.
Oh, it even went with the eyes.
Yeah.
Crossed eyes. But hey, I don't know. This is... going to be interesting. I do think it's 8 o'clock, 8:30, 7:30, something like that.
Is it like at halftime of like?
It's before the first game, okay, so it might be at 6:30. I don't know the exact time. I probably should know that, but I don't.
Might be nice.
I'm excited for the draft lottery, like you said, with the Pacers probably gonna get the ninth. No, not get the ninth pick, but we'll just have to see what they get. It'll suck if they get the ninth pick. It'd be really good if they get the number one pick.
I think what they should do. And this is, you know, I think it would be interesting. Whoever the representative is from the organization, so like Kelly Kroskoff for the Pacers, she's the assistant general manager for the Pacers. It would be interesting if they do like pin the tail on the donkey and like had him up on a poster board and spun him around with a blindfold. And
I think we should do fifth grade recess where shoot for ball,
rock paper scissors.
You shoot for pick.
That would work. Rock, paper, scissors.
That would work.
Yeah.
Round robin tournament.
That could do it.
Yeah.
Round robin 1v1 tournament.
Play 2K for it.
With the teams that
with
you
the
have.
Players on the
yeah,
team.
Right. Yeah. Right.
I mean, I guess you could do that, or you could just throw a dart and whoever's closest gets the first pick.
Flip
a
coin.
NBA bubble tournament. TJ Warren gets found in Orlando. Pacers get number one overall pick.
I don't know. I mean, I just,
It is exciting.
It's exciting, but I would assume they're just going to get a bottom, I mean, the seventh pick. And
but they have a better chance of getting one of the top four picks than they do the ninth pick.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's at least kind of exciting, I guess.
I just can't figure out if you finish with the fifth worst record, why you end up with the best chance to get the seventh pick.
Right. I think that... Well, at least it's not like the NHL. I've seen the NHL with their lottery, and it seems like every year that they have a good draft class, all the Canadian teams that are in the lottery get, like, the higher picks. But every time it's a bad draft class, it's like an American team gets it.
Are you saying there's a conspiracy?
Yes. I genuinely think there is or something because, like, every year, they're, like, the number one through three is really good. The Canadians and the Senators will get the number one pick. And then the next year, if it's, like, some... like mid-range, like kind of just okay guy who's like the number one through three, it'll be like the Panthers and the Hurricanes get the number one and two pick.
I think that they should just, well, they used to do it really cool. Instead of the ping pong balls, they used to pick envelopes out. That was so cool because they would, you'd reach in, you pick, and then they're like, depending on if you were like the worst team in the league, you got more envelopes in there. And so... you'd pick the envelope out and open it up, and it would be whatever. That was pretty cool. It was dramatic, too.
Oh, for sure. And then, I mean, obviously, we know what happens, how the Knicks maybe possibly...
Oh, I remember that.
...bent envelope is and just something.
Right.
But we will see. It's going to be interesting. It's going to be fun, and we'll talk about it this Thursday. I'll probably tweet about it as well. It's just this could be a really a tide-turning moment for the Pacers going forward. And let's see how the NBA treats them.
Yeah.
I'll do you a favor, Jackson. I'll tweet about it.
Oh, wow.
I'll tweet about it on the Sports Spotlight.
Wow.
About first the draft tweet. Lottery. And I'll use a GIF.
Ooh, GIF.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah. He is updating.
Or a GIF, whatever people want to call it. I think it's a GIF.
I think, well, there you go.
Because it's graphically image or whatever. It's not graphically.
Well, the guy who invented the GIF...
The GIF.
Said it was GIF, but nobody adheres to that.
I hate when people like, it's like, is it GIF or GIF? And people are like, GIF.
Now you're making me hungry for peanut butter. So that's
peanut butter.
Peanut butter jelly sandwich right now?
Yeah, I'd go. I could go for it.
Yeah.
Choosy moms choose GIF.
What? What?
That's an old slogan.
Oh.
Old slogan.
GIF peanut butter.
Or the Bruno Mars line, smoother than a fresh jar of Skippy. GIF is better, though.
Yeah.
Skippy's good.
I don't know. I don't get into that. I tend to like, if it's peanut butter, I will.
The great value.
What it was.
Peak.
Yeah. They had this on Good Mythical Morning.
Good Mythical Morning is a funny channel.
Where they did the different peanut butters and taste tested them. And
yeah.
They, one of them got to wear a peanut hat or something like that.
Do you like chunky or creamy more?
Creamy.
Creamy peanut butter is good. Chunky's okay. Like, I don't hate it.
Hard to spread.
Yeah, but it's very hard to spread.
What do you think, Jackson?
Yeah, I mean,
sportsman.
This is the high quality sports talk you want. Whatever
peanut butter's in there. I mean,
yeah.
If it's hard to spread, I'll spend my time spreading it. I mean, I don't have a favorite.
We talked about the draft lottery enough.
We've turned into to the ride with JMV now.
Yeah.
Just random stuff.
Just randomly talking about. I love that. I love that about JMV's show. No hate, but.
And I'll just start right back talking about sports.
Yep.
All right.
That's what we're going to do.
Hey, that's a transition.
We transition well into other things. We don't transition well back into things.
You know what? About peanut butter, it's chunky, and you don't want any chunky pavement at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah.
That one's a good one. My Siri just went off on my Apple Watch.
Oh, she doesn't have an answer.
I clapped.
And things didn't go smoothly for a lot of race teams this weekend.
And the track wasn't smooth with all the rain.
I don't know if that's where you're headed. That may have been a bad transition. You wanted to talk about the trade rumors, didn't you?
Yeah.
So things may go smoothly for the Pacers in a trade.
Well, reporting to reports. The sources, since the Suns obviously lost in Game 7 to the Dallas Mavericks in the Western Conference semifinals, their center, DeAndre Ayton, who is 23 years old, could be up for trade. He's a guy who was the first overall pick in the same draft as Luka Doncic, who put him out of the NBA playoffs. But Ayton's still a surprising young center, only 23 years old. He wants close to a max contract. Which a max contract in his current time would probably be $30-something million. It wouldn't be the 40s because he's still a rookie, and it would be his first contract. So, and he's not going to get the max of the max. But it's been rumored that the Pacers did kick the tires on Ayton at the trade deadline, possibly for a Sabonis deal. Obviously, they went with Halliburton. I think that's the right deal. But the Pacers are still extremely interested in Ayton. Knowing that I don't believe they're fully convinced Miles Turner can be a winning center in this league, and to an extent. The rumored trade is, and this has not been confirmed, this is just what has been thrown out there.
It's, yeah, thrown out there.
The Adele line rumor has it.
that DeAndre Ayton will be sent to the Pacers for Miles Turner and Chris Duarte. And which is a questionable trade because Indiana fans love Chris Duarte. He's the rookie. He had some moments last season. He looked really good. Miles Turner, obviously, he's the longest tenured Pacer, is the lead leaguer in blocks every year before he gets hurt, but is a guy who's going to give you 11-7. And that's just from a center aspect. You got to have better than that. DeAndre Ayton is a guy who, in the NBA Finals last season, prior to the Bucks going off, the Suns were up 2-0 in that series in the Finals last season. Let's move back. People were saying DeAndre Ayton was the third best center in the NBA. Let's not just move past that. People were saying, obviously, recency bias is such a big thing in this league. But people were saying DeAndre Ayton is a top three center in the league, and they were saying he was three behind Jokic and Embiid. Is he top three? I'd say he's around five. I think he's still up there. He's still a really good center. Let's not get me wrong. He's a guy who's going to give you around 18 to 10 a night. He can give you around two blocks to two. Sometimes he's a little passive-aggressive, but he's still a really talented center. Chris Duarte, you look at the Pacers' side of this deal. I'll talk about Duarte in a second, but you're going to have to pay him. You're going to have to pay him probably. if you're lucky. I mean, obviously, I don't think he's worth max money yet. I don't think he's proved that he is worth a max contract yet. I think you can maybe get him. I wish they could sign. I mean, I would do it on a snap of a finger if you could sign him to an $18 million deal, the same deal Turner's getting. But that's just unrealistic as money continues to go up every single year. I would be happy with $28 million a year for DeAndre Ayton, a guy who can give you 20 and 10 every night. And that's kind of what the Pacers have been looking for at the center position, a 20 and 10 guy. They had it with Sabonis, but Sabonis' defense was subpar to say the least. Sabonis, obviously a great passer. Ayton, a decent passer. Obviously, he has to develop a outside shot, can knock it down from about 15 feet. That's kind of the question. But the Pacers, obviously, you're trading away Miles Turner, so you trade away his cap. But the Dorte part is kind of where people are like, ooh, because Turner for Ayton straight up, I mean, yeah, I'd do that. But Dorte is a guy who averaged 13 as a rookie. Really, before, I mean, the trade happened, he was averaging 16. His minutes as he went to the bench midseason, his minutes and production kind of went down. But Dorte is a guy who is 24. He's going to be 25, I do believe, in the mid of next year, which is scary. A second-year player who is 25 years old.
I mean, he's the same age as Miles Turner. Miles Turner has been in the league since 2015.
Yeah.
So that's kind of
Chris Dorte is a guy who just, how much better can he get in the small time period you want him to get better as? Because he is already 24 years old. He's such a talent, and I'm not saying trade him away. If the Suns came to the Pacers and said, hey, we want Miles Turner and Malcolm Brogdon for DeAndre Ayton, I'd shake their hand and send him away. You know how I feel about Malcolm Brogdon. I think he's the problem.
But what if they wanted Goga?
Oh.
You'd probably drive him to the airport.
I think Goga should just come back like after retirement and like take over the Pacers just to like make fun of Jackson.
Future coach of the Pacers.
That guy. I mean, the Pacers and the Suns have made trades in the past. As we see, T.J. Warren is one of them.
I haven't seen T.J. Warren.
Well, he's in the bubble, but you've seen him before that. they also made a trade. What was it? I cannot think. There was another big one as well.
Here's what I would say. You know who owns the Pacers?
Yeah, he doesn't like to spend money.
He doesn't like to spend a lot of money. And I question whether Herb Simon. I question whether he would spend the kind of cash on a player like that. I don't know.
Are you thinking of the Torrey Craig trade?
That was another for
Jalen Smith.
And Smith is a guy who another re-signed candidate.
And on the other side, I mean the Suns have a very young nucleus, and they obviously had a very good season this year. So do you want to start splitting that up?
Because they lost? I mean, that's kind of the thing. Because people in this league now, if you have one bad season, they blow it up immediately. Right. If you go back 20 years, I mean, just look at teams that are
Look at the Pacers 20 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you only have 13
guys.
They
lose in the second round, and they bring back the same exact team, and they run it back.
Right.
They'd continue to run it back after year.
I mean, you had Derek McKee, Rick Smits, Mark Jackson, Haywood Workman, Reggie Miller, Dale Davis, Antonio Day. I mean, those guys were mostly together. And then you know, you would have like, oh, well, we peel off a couple. So Antonio was one of the first ones, and Dale. But then you bring in Jermaine O'Neal. You bring in guys like that.
Yeah, but they just didn't give it away after 2 years.
Right.
And, I mean, this Phoenix Suns team, I mean, they've been to an NBA Finals as the core. They've been to the NBA Finals, and then this year they won 60 games and they lost in 7 in round 2.
I just don't see them breaking that up this quickly.
I mean, I don't really see it either, but on the other hand, like, you only have 13 guys in your roster.
Well, you have 15.
Or 15, sorry.
13 drafts.
You have your G League team too, but at the same time, like, you have 15 guys. It's not like the NFL where you have 53.
Right.
And if one guy's not performing, just bring up another dude.
Right.
You know, but you have
But it's not like 15 guys. Not performing. It's the thing is,
but
is the Suns are going to have to make a decision because they do not want to pay him max money and they don't want to pay him anything near it. The Suns have a lot of money put up in Chris Paul.
Right.
And Chris Paul's a guy who averaged who really had 1 point going into the fourth quarter in game 7. Chris Paul's a guy who played really well up to really game 3 of this last series. They also obviously have Devin Booker. You know, he's going to get anything he wants. It just comes a question.
But will let's say this is a true trade, right? That this is going to happen. Let's say we don't know if it is. We don't know if it's. I mean, it's speculated. Does Miles Turner and Chris Duarte make the Suns better?
Does he make them better? In all reality, no. But no. They're cheaper.
Okay. Well, I mean, who's Danny Ainge? Right? Is he with Phoenix? No, he's in Utah.
Yeah, he's with Utah. I do not know who their GM is. I know who their coach is.
Right.
But their GM kind of. I know he's a. Oh, it's James Jones.
There you go.
He used to play for the Heat.
James Jones. He used to play for the Pacers, didn't he?
Yeah, he played everywhere. He bounced around.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, I get my Western Conference teams mixed up there when I said Danny Ainge, but I just don't know about this trade on either side.
I mean, the Suns, I mean, it does make sense because you get a center who would kind of give you the same production as a Ayton to an extent. I think Ayton, right. Turner, Ayton, I mean, they're not, I mean, obviously, Ayton's a better player. But Turner, I mean, if they want to go more with a kind of a perimeter-centric offense, Turner is the great guy for that.
Right.
Turner is a guy who can shoot 40% from three.
I think Turner, I know people don't want to hear this, but Turner is a modern NBA center.
He's 100% a modern NBA center, but the thing with Turner is every year we expect him to get better.
Right.
And yeah, he has improved slightly. But Miles Turner, 3 years ago, people thought he'd be the next thing because he was the guy who came into this league who could shoot 40% from three, block three shots a game, and give you – I mean, he was scoring pretty well his first couple of years. But his production has not gone up at all. Yeah, his blocks have gone up slightly. Yeah, his rebounds gone up 0.2 from last year. Yeah, his points actually went down.
Right.
I mean, he is a guy who is a career average of 13 points and 7 rebounds and like 2-something blocks. It's just from a team. Miles Turner will only be successful in this league if he's next to a power forward who is elite. And that's just simple. If you put Miles Turner on the Bucks,
don't have that right now.
Yeah, if you put Miles Turner on the Bucks, he'd be great. He'd fit perfect next to Giannis because Giannis is a guy who can get rebounds and Miles Turner cannot.
Well, and Miles could play the four rather than
And Miles Turner is a guy who rather sit at the three than be down low. And the Pacers need a center who will be down low because that is Rick Carlisle's system.
Right.
A center is on the block. That's why Sabonis would have fit perfectly in this system, but you had to give him away for Halliburton, which is your centerpiece.
Right.
And so it comes down to it. Obviously, the money is a thing. For Turner and Dorte straight up for Ayton, I don't know if the Suns throw in a first rounder this year or throw in some other something.
I think that makes it more attractive if they do that.
Yeah, but if it's Malcolm Brogdon and Miles Turner, I'm probably going to do it because Malcolm Brogdon, I think he is. I wouldn't say, I mean, they love him here. The players, they like him, but him as a player does not fit this team going forward. I think. Obviously, there's a bunch of pieces on this team that are going to be moved this offseason. I think it's obvious. I think Malcolm Brogdon is a piece that most likely, I mean, I would say certainly is going to be moved. I would punch it. It's going to happen. Right. Miles Turner is a 50-50. He's in trade rumors every day.
Right.
So
he's been in trade rumors every day for how long now?
Forever. I mean, it seems like the past 5 years. But the thing is with Turner is we've never seen him as the team's feature center.
Right.
And that's something that I think could interest the Simons and obviously the GM and obviously Rick Carlisle. They want to see what he wants to do, what he could do as the guy. We haven't seen him as the guy since Paul George was on the roster and Miles Turner was a second-year player.
Right.
So that's just kind of something to think about. But then obviously you have other places, but Buddy Hield's a guy who could be in trade rumors as well. I mean, this team's going to look different. But I'm just going to go look at the NBA draft. Let's say the Pacers get a really good draft pick tonight, and they have the opportunity to draft a guy out of Purdue named Jaden Ivey. Jaden Ivey is 6'4". 6'4" would not be good at the three position in the current modern NBA. 6'4" probably a while back, maybe. But people are getting taller. 6'4" is a point guard, shooting guard type of height. Chris Duarte is also 6'4". And then 6'5" is Tyrese Halliburton, but easier point guard. I think a team, I mean, obviously, if you have the opportunity to draft Jaden Ivey, I think the ability to pair him with Ayton is even more exciting. It really depends because Chris Duarte is a guy who, I don't think his potential is as high as Ivy. It just really depends how this draft lottery goes tonight and what the Suns are willing to pair with Ayton. And it just really depends. I mean, it depends a lot. I mean, tonight is so big and so important for the future of this team. We'll have to see. But, I mean, if you're on the Ivy chain to Indiana, sadly enough, I don't know if a Haliburton-Dorte-Ivy lineup is possible with the current modern NBA. And I'm a guy who was earlier in the you could say year in the NBA saying Ivy, Dorte, Haliburton, book it. Just height wise and size wise, it's possible, but it's not winning, and that's where it's going to come down to. So we will see. Lots of stuff to talk about, obviously, and we have lots of time left. This might be my last time on the show talking about it, but there's obviously a lot to talk about in the future.
Right.
But we will see. But we are going to move along now to the NBA playoffs. We talked a little bit about the Suns, how they did lose to the Mavericks in Game 7. That was
embarrassed.
They got blown out. I mean, I looked at the score. It was halftime. I looked at the score because I wasn't watching it. I forgot. And I'm like, 74 to like 30? And I mean, like, what? The Suns are a team that won 60 games. But they lost. And now their season is over. Dallas Mavericks, the Luka Magic, doing it all. We're going to talk about two Game 7s. That happened, obviously, Friday before after the show. The Golden State Warriors beat the Memphis Grizzlies 110-96. Klay Thompson had another impressive Game 6, as he is Game 6 Klay Thompson. They ended up winning that series to move on to the Western Conference Finals. Going now, obviously, in Miami, they beat Philly in five, I do believe.
Yeah.
I think we all saw that coming. I said James Harden's going to have another... He's going to have 30. Be at 11.
Yeah.
And that's an interesting. So it's going to be, we'll talk about this in a second. But Game 7 Sunday, as it happened, the Bucks took on the Celtics, and the Celtics put it to the reigning defending champions. They won 109-281. And Giannis Antetokounmpo just couldn't put that team on his back enough. He didn't really get help from his supporting cast either this game. I did catch some of this one. Jrue Holiday, 21 points. They needed him to have more. And in all reality, Giannis only had 25, and that's just not enough whenever Tatum has 27. Tatum only had 23. Brown has 19. Grant Williams, the story of this one, he had 27 as well. So it's going to be Bucks Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Celtics Heat.
And the Celtics are a team that really was in the bottom of the Eastern Conference standings halfway through the year. They've been hot ever since. And the Bucks, let's just take a little backstory. The Bucks rested their starters game 82 of the season because they did not want to face the Nets in the playoffs. The Celtics did not. The Celtics could have lost their game 2 and not played the Nets. But the Celtics won their game. They swept the Nets and they beat the Bucks in 7. And the Celtics, I think they're the favorite to win the series against the Miami Heat. I mean, that has to be. The Heat are a team that's banged up. And I think the Celtics just have too much firepower. And, I mean, these teams were in the Eastern Conference Finals just 2 years ago. So it's going to be interesting to keep an eye on that one. Obviously, as we mentioned, the Mavericks beat the Suns 123-90. Luka Doncic had 27 points at halftime. Chris Paul and Devin Booker combined had 27 points at halftime. Luka Doncic finished with 30. Spencer Dinwiddie had 30 off the bench. Jalen Brunson had 24. And that's really all the leading scores for the Dallas Mavericks. The Suns, just disappointing. DeAndre Ayton.
Oh, go ahead.
DeAndre Ayton, I know we talked about him. He only played 17 minutes in this game, got benched in the second half. Ayton did not like something that was going on, so he did not play. He finished with 5. Booker had 11. Paul had 10. So that just looks at it. Your big three that led you through the whole entire season had a combined score of 27 points. Wow.
Yeah.
That's just something. Luka had 27 at halftime.
And you know, after all the, you know, talk that we had about the Suns and the Western Conference and everything, it comes down to 1-2 in the East. And in the West, you've got 1-4. I'm sorry, 3-4.
3-4
in the West.
So down goes the 1-2.
Yeah.
The Grizzlies obviously were the 2. The Suns were the 1. But now you look going on now to tonight.
And also, by the way, the Mavericks were terrible.
Mm-hmm.
They had a run of several seasons there where they hadn't been in the playoffs. Get rid of Rick Carlisle. Here they are in the finals. But well, I don't think Carlisle was the cause of
the
that.
Western
obviously,
Conference Finals.
They've yeah, right, the Western Conference Finals. But they've obviously built around Luca. And
oh, yeah.
That's why I mean, they are where they are.
That's what you had to do. You have to build around your stars. And the Pacers are going to do the same thing with Halliburton.
And Mark Cuban knows how to do it.
Oh, I mean, he knows how to build around a guy. As you saw what he did with Dirk. And this kind of season is giving off kind of that 2011 vibe.
Right.
From, they don't have really a star next to Luka, as the Mavericks did not have a star next to Dirk. They had kind of an older Steve Nash, but he wasn't a star. Was it Steve Nash or Jason Kidd? It was Jason Kidd.
Yeah, it was Kidd.
Yeah, Jason Kidd. Excuse me, not Steve Nash. I know they both traded. They both played on the Mavericks like
eight
times. Steve Nash was over there in L.A., I think, at this time. But, yeah, Jason Kidd, now the head coach of the Mavericks, trying to get a little bit of umph in there. It's just interesting. Jason Kidd was kind of ruled off as a head coach.
Right.
And now look at his Mavericks.
Yeah. I mean, they've done a great job. And, you know, the Warriors, though. What could you say about the Warriors?
That's a scary team right
there. They're just, you know, they're like the Undertaker. You think they're down, they sit back up. There they are again.
So looking now ahead of the games tonight and tomorrow, the Celtics and the Heat take on game one. The Heat, a team that's been banged up to say the least. Kyle Lowry most likely not going to play, and who knows when he's going to play. In all reality, he's only averaging 6 points in the playoffs anyway. And the Celtics, a team that's really hot. They won in seven versus the Bucks. They swept the Nets. This is going to be an interesting game here, but the Heat are going to have someone else step up other than Jimmy Butler. If they want to have a chance to beat the Celtics, they have so much firepower. I mean, when Tatum has a bad night, Brown has a really good night. Whenever they both have a bad night, a guy like Al Horford, a guy who bounced around the league after being traded from the Celtics, is back on the team. He had 30 in a night they needed him. And the Celtics team, I mean, they're scary looking. That's going to be interesting. Moving ahead to tomorrow, probably I would say the funnest of the two series.
Right.
The Warriors and the Mavericks. The Warriors, a team that Stephen Curry did not start a single game in round one. Jordan Poole, a guy who was in the G League just last season, averaged 30 in the series. The Warriors have Klay Thompson, who looks like finally getting back to Klay Thompson. He's never going to be the same player. I don't think. I mean, he doesn't look like it, but he is still a knockdown shooter. You cannot leave him open. They still have, Andrew Wiggins was an all-star starter. And he's a three. Draymond Green is still doing his thing. He's not doing what he used to when it comes to points, but he is still up there when it comes to passing and getting rebounds. So this Warriors team, they're a scary team. Scary, scary, scary. They still have Steve Kerr as the coach. And the Mavericks have Luka and Buddy. So it's going to be interesting. Both those games are tonight and tomorrow. The Heat and the Celtics, 8:30 tonight. So that means the draft lottery will be, I do believe, at 7:30 or 8. Yes, I was correct the first time. There we go.
Yeah.
And then the Mavericks and the Warriors are going to be tomorrow at 9.
Sorry.
But now moving ahead now to the Indianapolis Grand Prix at IMS IndyCar. This race was kind of dictated by rain, to say the least. It was a bad day, but the race wasn't that bad.
No, I mean, it had all sorts of intrigue, and it was, I think, just a very I was trying to pull up the results here. Obviously, the winner was Colton Herta from the Andretti stable, and he made a interesting strategy call. His team did early on in the race. The race was declared a wet race to start, which means that all cars start on the special Firestone tires that have the tread that can run on the wet. But it was Herta's team that made the first move to the slicks, and that really propelled him because the slicks are so much faster than the wet tires. So he made that first move to the slick tires, and of course about bit it a couple of times, had a tremendous save, but it was he and Pato O'Ward made the first move to that. Both those cars went right to the front, and then Herta makes one of the greatest saves ever on one of those S turns behind the museum. He just absolutely kept his foot in it and turned that wheel all the way over and made the save, and then gets right past Pato after that. And then pretty much after that, I mean, there was so much strategy that was going on in this race. There were some, you know, at about the halfway point, it looked like a big thunderstorm was going to move in, and Tatiana Calderon was leading the race. Jimmy Johnson was up there, was poised for a podium, but it didn't storm. The storm fell apart, much to the chagrin of AJ Foyt Racing. So then it became a kind of like, well, do we go to the wets? Do we? So Rossi's team made the call to go to the slicks after being on the wet tires. I got that backwards. Rossi's team thought it was going to rain. They chose to go to the wet tires ahead of everybody else who was still on slicks, and it didn't rain. And, you know, the track stayed dry, but then it really opened up towards the end. And there was a lot of, there was some controversy towards the end about the aero screen and the visibility coming out of the aero screen, which is something that IndyCar has to figure out because obviously, I know Connor Daly was among the most vocal drivers that just basically said he was blind. I think Graham Rahal said he couldn't even see his front tires. He said the visibility was that bad. And what he was doing was he would look up, and when he was on the backstretch and when he would go under the bridge, he knew he had a certain amount of time before he slowed down to get into the turns. And, you know, those kinds of things they're going to have to figure out. But obviously the aero screen is a huge safety advancement. And this was the first time that it had really faced standing water on a track and in the rain. So I'm sure they'll go and they'll figure this out. I know Simon Pagenaud in the press conference afterwards, and to several people who interviewed him, suggested maybe a windshield wiper like they have in IMSA, you know, or something like that, that maybe could be attached if it's a rain race. I'm sure there are some other things they could do with the tear-offs. Obviously, there are products out there that you put on your windshield and keep it clean. But they said the big problem was the wet and the oil, because you do get oil and you do get grime buildup, and it just would not allow the water to roll off the aero screen. So they got to figure that out. But obviously, a huge win for Colton Herta. Pretty much everybody who was anybody in points had a bad day. Newgarden had a horrible day at Indy. His kind of run of not winning at Indianapolis
continues
for him. Will Power, however, once again was consistent and did not have a particularly great day, but Power ends up third at the end and obviously now leads the points heading into the Indy 500. Obviously, Alex Palou, who was leading the points going into the Grand Prix, spun out, had a horrible day. He ended up in the back. Rinus VK ended up in the back of the field. Scott McLaughlin ended up in the back of the field. So pretty much if you were a points leader, everything kind of ended up kind of playing itself out, with the exception of Will Power having a good day and now leading the points over Alex Palou, heading into the double points paying Indianapolis 500, which is coming up on May 29th, and today's the first practice for it.
Yeah, the first practice is today, and I do believe the every car, at least 32 of the 33, have tracked speeds. And I think the most laps ran today was 54. I do not remember.
Obviously,
who it was.
They're running right now, so all that's changing. Looking at the speeds right now, Stephen Wilson is on track right now doing his refresher, which is required. Earlier today, Scott Dixon was on top of the speed chart, just over 227 miles an hour. And this morning, I mean, we did see that there were some people that ran 54 laps, I think. There were some others that were fast right out of the box. I think Marco Andretti really kind of surprised some people getting up to speed. But, you know, a guy like Marco, he's been running there since 2006, so he knows that place like the back of his hand. And that's one of the cool things right now about IndyCar is you've got guys that are out there like Tony Kanaan and Marco Andretti and Elio Castroneves, whose career started last century. You've got those guys that are still out there, and then, you know, you've got the guys like Alex Palou and Renus BK and Pato O'Ward and all
new
these
guys.
New guys.
Yeah.
And then you have like guys that are right in the middle of their career, like Joseph Newgarden and people like that. And you've got multiple winners now. Mm-hmm. Takuma Sato, 2-time winner. Obviously, Juan Pablo Montoya is back, a 2-time winner,
mm-hmm.
trying to join the 3-time club. And you've got Elio going for 5, Pagano going for 2, Will Power going for Tony Kanaan going for 2. Dixon, I think a lot of people remember, he actually won the Indy 500 in 2008. He's going for 2, having a quiet year, but he's 5th in points. Scott mm-hmm. Dixon. I mean,
just
he's
being Scott Dixon.
He's just amazing. He can bring a bad car home and, you know, put it in there. I think, obviously, we could run down the field, and I could make a case for probably 30 drivers to win the 500 this year. It's that good. And, you know, this is when it starts getting interesting. But I wouldn't pay too much attention to what the speeds are today.
Mm-hmm.
They're not the speeds you're going to see on Saturday for qualifying. You're supposed to get rain tomorrow, which means they'll probably be in this afternoon's practice. You're going to see a lot of people out there trying to get laps in, because it is compressed, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When I was a kid, you had the whole month of May, and it was all Indy practice and 2 weeks of qualifying and all that. But you've got to get this right now in basically
two weeks.
Uh-huh. And not even 2 weeks. I mean, you get this week of practice, you go qualifying on Saturday, you go qualifying Sunday for the pole. You get, a little practice session on the Monday after qualifying,
mm-hmm.
and then the cars are done. You get parade till carb day. You get carb day, obviously, which is, you know, carb day. There are some teams that will run hard on carb day. There will be some that just go out and try to shake the cobwebs loose. And maybe if you haven't figured out what your car is, you'll go do that on carb day a little bit because you'll get all the cars out there running.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the practice sessions, even though there are only 33 cars, there's not going to be a bump this year, a bump day. I think that even though there's only that many cars, it's still going to be very interesting on WBDGFM HD1 Indianapolis. I think it's going to be an extremely good month because everybody's going to be running their race setups now.
Mm-hmm.
You want to get this right for race day. And you know, you start looking at the forecast. What's race day going to be like? Oh,
you cannot tell in Indiana.
Right.
There's no way.
I mean, how many days out from the 500 now? About 10 days, 11 days, I think it is. So you start looking at that 10-day forecast, and it'll kind of sort of tell you what's expected on that day. And so you start looking, and you're saying, well, you know, race day, it's maybe going to be 73 degrees and cloudy. Well, today it's 73 degrees and cloudy. Well, this data today is really good data, so we're going to go out and run a bunch of laps. And, you know, they've gotten all this data down, and I guess Friday it's going to be pretty hot out there for Fast Friday. They give them extra boost on Fast Friday, so don't be surprised to see speeds over 230 miles an hour.
Oh, I would not
Friday.
Be surprised, too.
And I think probably you'll see maybe pushing 233 for the pole this year.
Yeah, that's what
I'm thinking.
About to say, either really high 232.
And the reason I say that is because Dale Coyne Racing with Takuma Sato ran 229 at the open test in a road course car. It was not their it was not their speedway car. So you're probably not going to see a lot of people putting their cards on the table today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guaranteeing you that probably most of these, well, except for Stefan Wilson, who's playing catch-up now, because, you know, he just got announced last week as the driver of that car, which I found out is actually Tatiana Calderon's road course car.
Really?
Yeah. So A.J. Foyt provided the car. Mm. There was thoughts it might be Juncos Racing that did it. It actually turned out that it was a Foyt car from the stable. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. That was David Land that reported that on YouTube. I suppose I should credit David Land for that. But I think you're probably not going to see much in the way of, like, big numbers until Friday. And then, even then, you know, who knows what they'll put on the table. And it's supposed to rain, too, Friday. So if, let's say, it rains after practice, it'll wipe the track clean of all that rubber and stuff. And then you're starting over again. Saturday looks to be a pretty interesting day. Could be a little rain on Saturday as well. But we know how that is. It always rains on pole day. You know, well, what used to be pole day. It always rains on the first day of qualifications.
Usually.
And then on Sunday is now pole day. Sunday looks beautiful. High 69 on Sunday. So we're talking prime speed. You know, you get a sunny day when the air temperature is about 69, 70 degrees. That is prime speed day for Indy cars. You don't want it too much colder than that. You definitely don't want wind blowing around out there. But if you get about 69 degrees, bright sunny skies, that means the track will still be warm. But the air ambient temperature won't be. Those cars move when you get to that. And so I think you're in on tap for a big pole day. Of course, we'll know more Thursday when we see what some of these speeds are.
Oh, yeah. Thursday we'll know more what pole day could look like.
And if you're new to IndyCar, which I know a lot of people are this year, obviously we talked about earlier, the infield parking is sold out right now inside the track. So if you're new to IndyCar, don't pay attention necessarily to the big speed, because a lot of that could be done in a tow. And what that means is there could be a car in front of you that's pulling you along for the ride. And then you kind of slingshot around them at the end of the straightaway. And, you know, as you cross the start-finish line, that is your high speed. So don't get so caught up in that those speeds. Look, if you really want to see who's doing the numbers, look at the no-tow speeds, and IndyCar publishes that. So look at the no-tow speeds, which sometimes isn't even in the top five. You know, it may not even be in the top 10, but those are the cars that are working well by themselves, and that's what you have to do at Indy. You run four laps all by yourself out there. It's only you and the Indianapolis Motor Speedway, and you got to do that now three times to get the pole, which is just ridiculous. Silly. But that's where we are. Rather than the intrigue being at the back of the field where it used to be, who's going to make the race? Now, well, who's going to be on the pole on Saturday was always the big thing. Then Sunday was who's going to make the race. Now it's Saturday, okay, everybody qualifies, and then Sunday you got to do it again if you want the pole, which, yeah. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. I could rant on that for 35 minutes.
35 minutes. But, yeah, I mean, this Thursday we'll know more. Coming up at 1:15, obviously. Lots to talk about. Pacers, number one pick, maybe. Who knows? We do have a little bit of breaking news before we wrap it up.
Da-na-na, da-na-na.
The Colts, I mean, this is a big breaking news. But the Colts, it looks like the Colts have signed running back Philip Lindsay to a one-year deal, hopefully filling that Marlon Mack type role.
Right.
Lindsay's a guy just 2 years ago who was a 1,000-yard rusher as a rookie and was a Pro Bowl player. So that's going to be an interesting signing there. So the Colts improving their running back.
And the Colts did also sign Alec Pierce to a deal
Pierce
yesterday.
Officially signed as well. So
and he was very impressive, I'm hearing, in some off-season workouts.
Yeah, I heard he was the dominant player at the rookie training camps, which you would expect as your top pick. So that's good to see as well. So this will be interesting to see what Lindsay will do here. Obviously, he's bounced around a little bit since that really good year with the Broncos. So maybe that's just a little bit of depth. We will see.
Obviously, he's not going to be the starting running back.
No, I think there's a guy named Taylor.
Jonathan
Taylor? Rings
a
bell.
Yeah, that's it. That's
maybe
it.
Like 1,800 yards, 20-something touchdowns. Ring a bell for you. But,
you know, back to IndyCar for just a second before we wrap up. I know that Doug Bowles has been out, and he's been interviewed several times by several different sources, and he's talked about this year, this ticket sales and everything for this race coming up on May 29th are second only to 2016 when it was a complete sellout. I mean, they didn't have any more space to put anybody. They were dragging in suites from everywhere and putting them down in turn one. I mean, it was a massive race because it was the 100th Indy 500. They said that they are tracking well ahead of 2019 levels, like 20,000 seats ahead of that right now. So that is fantastic news for everybody involved out there at 16th and Georgetown, because it is a bit of a scary time. You know, you haven't had a full Indy 500 since Simon Badgett 01 in 2019, and now you're getting everybody back in there, back home again. It's been there. They've been running some great ads for that with the back home again. Mm-hmm. I mean, every time it comes on, I sing along. That's kind of how the ad's been. But ticket sales are really good. So if you want a ticket up to the Indy 500, you're going to have a lot of fans there with you on race day.
Oh, yeah. I would say buy your ticket prior to going to the race.
It's going to be there's going to be a lot of people. They don't think they're going to reach the sellout, but hey, when you sell that place out, you're talking about over 300,000 people in one little 600 and some acres of land. It's going to be another big Indy 500.
Oh yeah,
and it's going to be a classic on paper.
So we will see. More to talk about that upcoming this Thursday, the NBA draft lottery, and more coming up here as well. NBA playoffs game one. More NFL news if it comes out. We will release it. So yeah, lots to talk about this Thursday.
I'm sure we'll fire Owen again.
Yeah, Owen will be most likely fired. But yeah, got some good music coming your way, and we'll see you this Thursday.